you are able at runtime to go into maybe a maintenance screen that only a few people have access and create instances of widgets or device faceplates for whatever sensor or drive that you may have added to that production line. Log out and go.
Welcome to the McNaughton McKay Podcast, your electrical connection. Each episode, we meet with an industry expert to tackle real issues in manufacturing. Join your host, Austin Davidson, to get the latest scoop on automation products and solutions.
Hey there, and welcome back to the McNaughton McKay Podcast. Today, we're going to be discussing common issues that systems integrators and OEMs face with modern HMI applications, specifically around the flexibility required to deliver these solutions to many different customers across the globe. And help me answer these questions, I'm joined by someone who has over 20 years of experience with Rockwell Automation, and they are currently the Commercial Portfolio Manager for Visualization Software. Today, I have Paul Heichel. Paul, how's it going?
Good, Austin. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for joining us. So specifically in the HMI space, we're going to be discussing FactoryTalk Optics. So could you give me an understanding of what FactoryTalk Optics is?
In a nutshell, FactoryTalk Optics is a new HMI platform that's available through Rockwell Automation. It is open, scalable, and very extensible, and we'll definitely talk about those one by one.
Okay.
It is a result of collaboration that we've had with the Awesome team. Awesome is an Italian-based company that we acquired back in 2020, and Optics is an addition to the existing visualization portfolio that we have today.
Okay, cool. So basically, you guys took some awesome technology and fused it in with technology that you guys already had around your own HMI portfolio. So as this has evolved into FactoryTalk Optics, Why is this so important? Or going forward, you know, what are the things that make it so awesome, if you will?
So why FactoryTalk Optics? I would start with, you know, what I mentioned earlier, the open, scalable, extensible. And our system integrators and machine builders, OEMs, can leverage the openness and extensibility of Optics to further differentiate themselves. So to give like specific examples.
Sure.
We work with the Awesome team to take the OPC UA specs and we build a product on top of it.
Okay.
So now you have a product that has OPC UA in its DNA. It's core to the platform. That means if you have to interface with an OPC UA client or an OPC UA server, or maybe we need that HMI to be an OPC UA client or OPC UA server, we can do that for you. We can interface with any ERP system, with any system out there, with any device that speaks OPC UA.
And I'm assuming, just not to interrupt, but I'm assuming this is something that you guys are seeing a lot more with customers. You don't just have an HMI on the plant floor. We're being requested to push this information either up or pull the information down, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We need to interface with different systems, right? As Industry 4.0, as being able to have one big system.
Yep.
And when it's hard to have this one supplier that can provide everything for you, OT and IT, the standard protocols like OPC UA and the interoperability that they provide becomes very, very important.
Cool.
So absolutely, we can interface with any system or device that can talk OPC UA. The same would be true for standards like MQTT or maybe dealing with databases that are ODBC compliant.
Okay.
Now, just as important, we do have a scripting engine that we call NetLogic within Optics. And the scripting language is C#.
Okay.
So now, not only we can talk to those larger systems that already have adopted the standard protocols like OPC UA and MQTT, if there's a custom ERP system that requires you to interface with it, now you're able to write the C# code to make that happen. So the simplest words for NetLogic would be, if you can dream it in C#, you can do it in Optics.
Okay, so this kind of covers the bases if we don't fall within that OPC, MQTT, or that database logic that you were talking about before.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, and cool. To hammer the differentiation that the SI can bring, right? So not only now we can interface potentially with anything out there, the same NetLogic system could be used to auto-generate content at runtime without the need of any design time software. So think about an application. Oh, absolutely. This is what gets me excited. think of a system integrator or an OEM that has shipped a system or shipped a machine already to a customer.
Yep.
And then a new sensor gets added for optimization.
Well, that never happens, right?
I think changes is the only thing that's guaranteed is that the things will change.
Yep.
So with optics, with the right scripting in place, you are able at runtime to go into maybe a maintenance screen that only a few people have access and create instances of widgets or device faceplates for whatever sensor or drive that you may have added to that production line, log out and go.
Cool.
So there's no need to recompile, no need to re-download, no need to reboot. You have the right scripting. You have the device faceplate. We're adding one more. We're going to instantiate that faceplate one more time. And you're going to do this at runtime with no requirement of any tools other than the runtime project. It's like go in, make the change, go out. It's a five-minute thing. You can do it in person. You can do it when you're remote. A very powerful scripting engine. Hence why I say if you can dream it in C Sharp, you can do it in optics. Now, for me, I still dream in ladder logic, but I think that would be a separate episode.
Well, you know, it's funny. I don't think that I told you this before, but I actually built a homebrew system and my HMI was built off of FactoryTalk Vue. And so the whole, if I make one little modification or decide, oh, I want to throw a sensor here or there, and then, you know, having to go get the laptop and do everything, download back and forth, this sounds much cooler to me.
No, absolutely. I think you're specifically talking about Vue Machine Edition as well when you refer to downloading. Absolutely, yep. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's hammer the differentiation again, right? Because we do have system integrators that will differentiate themselves by spending a lot of time on the user interface, where you would think is the most important thing of an HMI. I think for those system integrators and OEMs, they will love the responsiveness of the UI and the scalable vector graphics support that optics will provide. So being able to develop, you know, one application that you can scale to any size you want without having your graphics pixelized or, you know, maybe it today is a 7-inch, tomorrow might be a 10-inch.
Sure.
Also making sure that your objects maintain positions and as you scale, it becomes very, very important to them.
Very cool.
Style sheets would be a huge topic for an SI. The simplest use cases around style sheets would be providing the light mode, dark mode experience on the automation floor. No scripting required to make that happen. Being able to style the entire project without having to do any scripting is huge for us.
Okay, so that basically changes like the layout. Not the layout, but the style, I guess, for lack of a better term. I guess that's why you guys call it style sheets. But everything that you've basically walked through shows that you guys have addressed issues that systems integrators and SIs may face, especially around changing demands from customers. But we talked about at the opening statement about these customers potentially being global. So how hard is it typically to do multi-language with HMIs? Because I've only worked in English myself.
Oh, absolutely. I'm supposed to know two more languages, but I guess languages are meant to be used. So I'm down to 1.5. And I think by the end of the podcast, you'll realize which one does he have. So absolutely. I think multi-language is huge. And everyone can throw in multi-language as a checkbox we check. And if anybody does the most basic multi-language support, which is the conversion of the strings, someone could claim that they do multi-language support. But
sure.
I love the way we do multi-language with optics for several reasons. Again, conversion of the string itself to different languages is very important.
Okay.
But if I'm going to cater to someone who may speak a different language or maybe someone in a very different country, there's more than the strings that matter, right?
Sure.
There's the date and time format that would matter.
Yep.
There is engineering units that would matter, whether it's pounds or whether it's kilos or meters or you name it, right? Engineering becomes very important. And even simple things like a decimal separator. Is it a period that's going to separate a whole number from a decimal, or is it actually a comma as they do in a lot of countries in Europe?
Sure.
And with optics, you can tie all these preferences, including style sheets, by the way, to a user profile.
Okay.
So now I can cater to someone who speaks French and may be located in a different continent and be able to not only provide the application running in French, but also provide the date and time, the engineering unit, the decimal, the style sheet preference for that user. And for those who are maybe like me, where, you know, I came to the state from somewhere else, but I still prefer English, at the same time, I may be more comfortable with the metric system, and I'm based in the United States, and I like dark mode, right? Sure. So these preferences could really be tailored for that user to say, okay, for this user, it is English, but we're going to use the metric system, and we're going to use the US date and format, and we're going to use dark mode regardless of what time of the day it is for that user, right? So very, very flexible.
And essentially, you're building this. This is just basically a user option on top of your program, right? So it's the same program. It's just different preferences depending on where it's being deployed.
100%. Cool. And that's tied to the user, right? Not necessarily to the location. So I could absolutely have that preference when I deploy my project to Germany, for example. Uh-huh. But I think what makes it unique here is that I can tie it to the user.
So now if I log in and you log in, we can be right here next to each other, and I may see something completely different than you just because we're different users.
100. We're seeing the same thing, by the way, in different ways. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yes. Semantics, right? Yeah.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. It's being presented differently to match our preferences, which goes beyond just translating the string text, right?
I'm sure that's something that it seems like on paper would be a very small thing, but right, we're talking about a user interface. So making people comfortable, and I've studied some of this stuff in school with, you know, proper ways to deploy HMIs and visualization, and, you know, like why different products over the years have been very successful versus others just because of reception, right? How people interact with it. So I think those small things make a huge difference.
No, I agree. There's a lot of talk around operator performance, and that will definitely help.
Awesome. So we've talked about the flexibility kind of in the back end. We've also talked about the flexibility in terms of the interface and the interaction with the user. What other benefits do you have that you want to point out around this space? And let's kind of focus on our original topic of SIs and OEMs.
Oh, absolutely. So we talked about some of the features and functions that would help a system integrator and OEM differentiate themselves. At the same time, we do understand that cost is a factor as a decision for that segment of our market.
For
so
sure.
Optimizing cost becomes huge for optics. You're developing one application regardless of the piece of glass that you're deploying it to.
Okay.
So, and when I refer to this, I mean, because of the scalable vector graphics and the responsiveness of the screens that you can create, you're going to have one application that you deploy on a 7-inch, a 10-inch, 15-inch, or maybe a 21-inch if that's what you want to.
Sure.
We've eliminated some of the early decisions that somebody would have to do today, like, is this going to run in a closed panel? Or is this going to run on a PC-based type of a solution? It's the same application that you're going to run in the closed panel that we will call the optics panel.
Okay.
Or maybe you want to run it on a PC, like a standalone type of an HMI.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you want more where you can have a server that has many, many, many web clients connected to it. We also support Windows and Linux. It's the same application. There isn't even a checkbox that you have to check differently within the application to say it's going to run here versus here. So just having
cool.
This one application for the variety of target devices, it's going to be huge for our system integrators and OEMs.
So you discussed basically the deployment. I know one thing that comes up all the time with HMIs is licensing, right? So how does that work?
So licensing is a topic on its own, but I would say it's very flexible, and I can tell you how it's not licensed. It's not licensed based on tag count.
Okay.
It is not licensed based on the number of screens or maybe even the number of alarms. The licensing is flexible and it scales with you. So when you do need to develop this application that maybe is a very light application,
mm-hmm.
that maybe you want to run on a Raspberry Pi. And yes, I did say Raspberry Pi, right? Or maybe any kind of like a small
hey,
compute.
I've been told around automation, don't say Raspberry Pi.
Yes, it's not industrial. No, absolutely. But we do have light compute surface
sure.
that are very powerful, right? We do have a compute module that runs Windows 10 IoT. It also runs Linux that you can actually put in a Logix chassis. And that module would be considered light compute because it might be running a dual core Atom chip and you have 4 or 5 gig of RAM. But it's very powerful to be able to run an HMI inside the Logix chassis.
Sure.
And Optix allows you to do just that. You can create that application that maybe doesn't have 50 clients connected to it, and it's not connecting to 50 databases, but you could be connecting to a SQL database. You could be doing some basic data collection from the controller, and maybe you're exposing that data via an OPC UA server. And you make that happen by combining the power of the compute inside the Logix controller with an application that's going to scale very, very small for you. That's going to include the application size, including pricing, right? So when we talk about a very light application, we're talking about peanuts from the perspective of pricing.
All right, all right. Well, so, you know, we focused a lot, and specifically, because that's what we were trying to target, but we focused a lot on the SIs and the OEMs and the flexibility that it allows them to kind of resolve some of these end-user requests or solutions that are required. But, you know, if we could take just an aside real quick, what about the end users? You know, obviously we have some capabilities that we can be more flexible for them, but is there anything else that stands out from their perspective that you would like to talk through?
Absolutely. And I do have an answer that would tie back to the system integrator anyway. There's one thing, if that's okay, I'd like to go back to, which is
sure.
It's one application for Rockwell controllers and third-party controllers as well. So Optix come right. built in with the Rockwell Ethernet IP driver. So when you're using Rockwell most of the time and you're using third-party controllers some of the time, there is no additional software that you have to worry about. There is no additional licensing that you have to worry about. It is the same Optix application that you'll be able to deploy on both.
Okay.
But that kind of ties to the end user anyway, right? And if we
sure.
think about what's one of the end user challenges today, I would say the workforce challenge and, uh-huh. and how often I hear an end user having to be reliant on a system integrator or maybe a machine builder to maintain their plant.
Sure.
Well, as soon as you're reliant as someone that doesn't report under the same IT infrastructure in a way and is not part of your domain controller, that's kind of a blocker for a lot of the easy collaboration that we could do.
Yeah.
Optix allows you to store your project on cloud repositories like GitHub.
Okay.
And that by itself is a huge enabler for collaboration. So now it is someone with authority on the plant floor that can decide that this system integrator has the same goal as me, which is keep the plant up and running. And then we need to collaborate on the project. And I can add that person, even though they report to a completely different company, mm-hmm. I can add them as part of my GitHub repository. I can add them to my FacuTalk Hub organization. And by doing this, we can automatically enable multi-user development, where now you have the best of breed inside the plant and the best of breed outside the plant, collaborating, working on the same project to maintain a plant, keep running, or maybe to bring it back up to running after a shutdown.
Sure.
And we do this all with version control being built into the product. So now if somebody does do something, if you say, Paul, I need your help, and then I come in and make things worse, you can actually use the version control to revert all my work back.
Sure.
Right? So there's a snapshot capability similar to how you have in a VMware environment to actually snapshot somebody's work. You have version control and be able to revert that work if that ends up being necessary.
You mean it's not just me making sure that I, you know, I saved, this is HMI screen program _1_2_3. Well, you know, what date do I need to pick? And hopefully I saved it and, you know, the computer didn't get wiped on accident.
Or maybe if you need my help, you can email me that project and then I can email you the wrong one back and you would have no idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Too funny. No, and honestly, some of this stuff, I'd say the complexity is increasing and you guys are doing a good job to manage that. But from the perspective of, you know, people that are coming out of school and everything now looking one side or the other, like my neighbor, I was just talking to them, their son, he came out of school with a degree in gaming actually. So if you know anybody that needs a guy who can write software, let me know. But
I do.
A lot of the skills, you know, that him and I have talked about that he has, I don't have, but you know, he doesn't have an automation background, but that line is getting blurred quite a bit. And I think being able to find people that can utilize both sides of IT and OT, I think is very cool because it's going to enable us to do more and more interesting things down the road.
Oh, absolutely. I think the best place for a gamer in industrial automation is visualization. Yeah. And what I tell everyone is visualization is by far the most fun topic of industrial automation. And I love you mentioning the word gamer because the closest thing to a gamer on the plant floor is an HMI developer.
Very cool.
This is great. There's one more thing I want to mention end users, because end users really care about having a system. And if you think about an end user that's bringing in two machines from two different suppliers, they might be using different controllers, but have
Certainly.
The same HMI.
Yeah.
Right. And let's say that HMI is an optics panel or maybe an optics runtime target, whether it's a Windows computer or not, it really doesn't matter.
All right.
Enabling machine-to-machine communications, because remember, we are built on top of OPC UA. So both optics applications would be able to function as an OPC UA server as well as an OPC UA client. And if you decide you want to, you can expose everything within that application. So your entire HMI application becomes the data model that you're exposing to the other machine, and vice versa would also be true. So enabling like native machine-to-machine communication, so two machines that really came from two different places can function as one system, is also very big for optics for us. And it's very important for end users.
Interesting. So instead of segmenting everything and keeping them separate, we're able to basically put them all under the same umbrella.
Absolutely. And they can natively talk to each other.
Awesome. Well, hey, I know you guys didn't name them, but I'm starting to understand why the company you guys acquired was named Awesome, because it seems like there's a lot of very cool functionality. I forget who it was, but there was one Rockwell BU guy that would always say, components are sexy. Nobody thinks components are sexy, but they are. We got to keep people thinking that components are sexy. I already thought like the HMI space was pretty sexy, but you guys are making it really, really cool.
It's an exciting time to be in industrial automation, and specifically in that field, as the HMI becomes the edge device between IT and OT. It's very exciting. 2 years ago, I didn't care to learn much about GitHub. I knew it existed.
Sure.
And now, I am knee deep into GitHub and the collaboration it enables. Lots of amazing stuff.
Awesome. Well, that's all the questions I had for today. Do you have anything else you'd like to call out before we roll this up?
That's it on my end. I think we covered everything. Every buzzword I could think of, I made sure to use today.
Awesome. Well, Paul, I appreciate you walking me through what is Factory Talk Optics. And remember, folks, if you have any questions about this episode or any previous episodes, you can reach us at podcast@mc-mc.com. Or you can reach out to your local McNaughton McKay account manager, and we'll get you in touch with people like Paul who really know their HMI and the future of industrial automation. Paul, thanks so much.
No problem. Thank you, Austin. That was fun.